And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray and Rock Cod Rick Mexa.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Rock Cod Rick Mexa. We're in the Mighty 1090 studios with Mr. Bill Varney. He's the surf fishing guru, the surf fishing expert here. He wrote the book on surf fishing, and we're going to be talking all about it. You stay tuned. Southern California Sport Fishing Voices, Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
The offshore fishing this year has been nothing short of amazing. It's got a lot of San Diego anglers already dreaming about next year. Things may be cooling down a little offshore, but they're heating up at your San Diego County Ford dealers during the Dream Big Sales event. It's a great time to come in and check out incredible lease deals on Fusion, Focus, and Escape, or the big cash back available on America's favorite truck, Ford F-150, the truck of choice for San Diego fishermen. I've been driving a Ford truck for years, and I couldn't be happier with it. The technology is state-of-the-art. I can launch my boat with ease, and it's got all the room I need. And guess what else just started rolling in? The all-new 2015 Mustang. Just wait till you hear that throaty growl of that engine. It'll really get your blood pumping. December is traditionally a great time for two things: fishing in the bay and getting a great deal on a new Ford. So if you're ready to dream big and save big, don't miss the Dream Big Sales event. On now at your San Diego County Ford dealer. Stop by today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Look, anglers, if you had one shot, one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted in fishing, wouldn't you want purely the best equipment possible? You already booked the best boat in the fleet, so why not get the best gear? The new Shimano Talica 50 2-speed reel will exceed your needs. The Talica series is already nicknamed the Beast, but this is the king of them all. Power and torque unlike any reel ever produced, along with castable free spool, not found in a small reel till now. The Talica 50 2-speed has a narrower and taller design, an open top, along with an eye-corrosion resistant cold forged frame, side plates and spool that provides the angler an extreme long-range reel, lighter than any reel in this class. And when you have a reel like Talica 50, match it with the right rod. The 2011 iCast award-winning Therese Rail rods were designed specifically for this reel. Three rods in five colors and the 7'4" length will push those cows off the side of the boat. Treat yourself to the best and experience how light and powerful long-range tackle has become. The new Talica 50 2-speed reel and the Therese Rail rods, only at your local Shimano retailer. Information is the key to success, and inside information is even better. When it comes to fishing, inside information is critical, and that's what FishDope.com delivers. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and save fuel. FishDope.com is the only SST service with a satellite oceanographic PhD on board, the only fish finding service with a spotter plane. You get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island, 365 days a year. FishDope.com boasts the largest code group anywhere, covering sport boats, commercial boats, and private boaters. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. What I'm telling you is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, good luck. Membership costs less than 40 gallons of gas for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain. Plus, stay tuned for the special code to save $20 on a FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. I'm really excited about today's show, man. I think we're going to have a great time with Bill.
Yeah, indeed. And Bill is just a terrific guy and lots of fun to talk about surf fishing.
Yeah.
And welcome, Bill.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah. Okay. It's the dead of winter in Southern California. People are freezing. Yeah.
It got all
snow
the way down
is falling.
Got all the way down to 50 last night.
Oh, oh man.
Dang, that's cool.
Snow's not falling here.
No, it's not falling.
Did you see the news? Speaking of snow, it's like you really appreciate
where
you live in Southern California when you look at what they're going through in the Midwest and back east.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah.
Man alive. No digging out the car in the morning.
Don't tell anybody, because then they'll all move here, right?
That's right.
Anyway, great to have you, Bill.
Yeah.
And
Thank you.
Fish in the surf. It's a year-round expedition here in Southern California.
It's year-round, and it's great right now. It's good all year long, but there's certain periods of time in the year where it's better for different species, and right now it's the perch season.
Yeah. And what do you, you're talking about Southern California surf perch?
Absolutely. Barred surf perch, calico surf perch, walleye surf perch.
Oh, but I didn't even know there's different species.
There's a number of different species. And, of course, as we move north, there's a few more different ones up that way, too.
We wish red ear.
Exactly. The red-tail surf perch, boy, there's some really big ones. Some fellas have sent me pictures of ones that are in the 17, 18-inch, 3-4-pound category.
Wow. Where do you catch those?
Those are anywhere pretty much north of San Francisco, and certainly when you get up around Crescent City, one of my favorite beaches to fish up there is Samoa. So people say, where'd you go this weekend? I said, I went to Samoa. They think,
long flight.
I went down to the South Pacific to surf. But, no, it's up around Crescent City and excellent surf fishing up there for them, and they're really good on natural baits and also on grubs and other lures, a very active fish in that area.
Cool. What's a natural bait in Crescent City or Samoa?
All the same stuff we have down here. So ghost shrimp, lugworms, bloodworms, clams, mussels, all of those things are up there, and they work great.
Okay, wow. Well, so if somebody wants to learn, I love the way you, like in your email blast that you send, you give a simple little, here's what you need, here's where you go, here's what you look for, here's this. If somebody who's never surf fished before follows that recipe, are they going to catch fish?
I think they are. You know, it's really surf fishing. A lot of people will ask me, you know, where should I go surf fishing? Where's your favorite spot? And the bottom line with surf fishing, we have, 3,000 or 4,000 miles of coast from Seattle all the way down to, let's say, La Paz. That is excellent surf fishing, and it all revolves around conditions. So once you learn a little bit about conditions, what to look for, the troughs and the eddy circulations, the rip tides, jetties, things like that, once you know what to look for, you can find fish on almost any beach and some great fishing all along the coast.
That's all right, really let's take example. You fish Bolsa Chica a lot. You're from Huntington Beach area, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you look for? Let's go to Huntington Beach. Let's go to Bolsa Chica. You're walking down the beach. You're going surf fishing after the show today.
Well, the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to find a rise on the beach, you know, where the water rushes up over the sand. At some point, there's going to be a high spot. I'm going to be able to get up on that and look up and down the beach. The very first thing I'm going to look for is birds, particularly seabirds of any kind, standing on the shore. They're not just standing there working on sharpening their beak. They're there because that's where their food is. They're foraging in that area normally. And whether they're working at foraging or waiting for the tide to be right for them to get sand crabs or clams or worms, whatever, that's a first tip. So I start there, and then from that point on, we're looking for conditions in the water. So, for example, if it's high tide, I'm going to be looking for maybe an eddy circulation caused by a rip current or something like that. Or I'm going to be looking for surfers and swimmers going into the water. If I'm not familiar with that beach, when they walk into the water, we've all seen this, and they maybe disappear down to their chest and then come all the way back up to their waist again, bingo. That means where the trough is.
Huh?
That means that's where a trough is.
Yeah.
And surf fishermen should always pay attention to swimmers and surfers going in the water around them in both directions as they're fishing to get an idea of the lay of the land if they haven't been there at low tide to check it out.
Oh,
that's
okay.
A great tip.
What about tide? Does that play into it?
Tide is very important in surf fishing. I think tide is more important than actually time of day, generally. And how the tide works kind of rule-wise is we have two different types of beaches at the beach we deal with in Southern California. A beach like where you and I grew up, Pete, up north, where the beaches are all dredged.
Right.
There's no natural real bottom there. As a matter of fact, the natural bottom is probably 40 feet under the sand that was dredged there in the mid to
way
late
back
60s. Yeah, way back when we were little kids. And in that scenario, I normally will fish about 2 hours before high tide to 2 hours after high tide.
Okay.
So the high tide period. particularly about every 2 weeks. If you get a good tide calendar, like the Bill Rucker calendar, great calendar. That's, use it every year.
Oh, yeah, Bill's calendars are super.
Beautiful calendar, great, well-made. And it has really good tides.
Yeah,
and the
easy
tides,
to follow.
Easy to follow because the tides are in a chart format rather than like numbers in a book. And so you can see a high tide as a bump or a low tide as a dip. And then what I do is I try to go about 2 hours before high tide to 2 hours after high tide on the dredged beaches. And then undredged beaches, so Malibu, Santa Barbara, a lot of areas in San Diego here that have not been dredged before, they have a natural bottom there. You can fish them both at high tide and at low tide. They're
okay.
Good at both times because at low tide you'll be able to get to structure and such that you can't get at high tide. And then at high tide you'll be able to fish all the inshore holes. Now, down here in San Diego in particular, I found more times than not that fishing a low tide going to a high tide is really the best time because there's so much kelp in the water here. At a low tide, a lot of that is deposited still on the sand, and you're not dealing with it on your line.
Ah.
And fish really, you know, think about going swimming in the pool in your backyard. If it had leaves and sticks in it, wouldn't really want to swim in it.
Yeah.
Probably want to clean it out first. And fish are really the same. They don't want things rubbing up against them that are not naturally anchored to the bottom like a kelp bed that they know where it is, and that's part of their regular environment. So
low to high.
Low to high.
If you see a lot of weed.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Good hints.
That's great info.
Yeah, really good info.
Let me ask you
sure.
this. For a guy that maybe doesn't know or is just getting into surf fishing, hasn't grown up around the beach like you guys did, how would a guy know if it was a dredged or non-dredged beach? Is there a sign where you would say, okay, well, this is like this, so that means it's not been dredged?
That's a very good question because you really, you know, most people would look at any beach and think it was just that way naturally. How would you not know that?
Yeah, it's been this way forever.
55 years ago, they put these barges out there and dredged it. Normally, the characteristics of a dredged beach would be all sand. There's no rock structure whatsoever. And then a very wide beach with a considerable amount of sand on it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, let's say you go down to Carlsbad, for example, South Carlsbad State Beach, you have a very small beach there between there and the cliffs, and there's a lot of rocks exposed, particularly during the winter time. So many of these beaches have changed a lot. If you went back in time to when my dad was a kid and fishing in the 30s in Hermosa Beach, from Palos Verdes all the way to Santa Monica, it was all rocks along the shore there. There was very little sand, and offshore about 100 yards was about a mile-wide swath of kelp that went all the way from Palos Verdes all the way to Malibu.
Wow.
Quite different then.
Wow. That's something.
That's crazy.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember from my high school physics or oceanography class is that when they dredge something, all of that is going to move south. Is that right? So in other words, if they, let's say that you're at the mouth of a harbor, a mouth of an estuary or whatever that gets dredged, the stuff to the north may be a natural beach. The stuff to the south might be a dredged beach.
Right. And also, you know, that's going to be affected by both the summer and the winter currents. So, of course, from in the winter time, we have a current or surf, swell and surge that comes from the north moving toward the south. So it pushes sand that's from the north toward the south. And then that would accumulate on the north-hand side of a jetty rather than on the south. And then in the winter, where we have much stronger current from the south and larger swell than we would find normally in the winter on a consistent basis, you have sand pushed up from the south to the north that fills in over all those rocks that were uncovered during the winter.
Yeah, so that's why beaches change.
Beaches change all the time.
Different currents, different swell patterns and such like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. You know, Gundy brings up many times that after a big storm, it's a good idea to go down to the beach and take a look at low tide because a lot of the troughs and holes that you may have used a week ago are all gone now and in a different place.
Yeah. So let's take an example. We had like 4, 5, 6 days of absolutely flat weather, swell. Now we have a little swell. You know, it's not huge, but it's... there's a swell. Which is the better condition, the absolutely flat, calm condition or something with a little swell?
Without question, a little swell or a big swell.
Oh, really?
No question
about it. A big swell,
too. And we would love to have good surf fishing where the water is perfectly clear and you can sight fish. Yeah, you see these guys in Florida, you know, fishing for tarpon on a ladder, standing out there on a ladder in 10 feet of water and fishing, sight fishing. Surf fish got big by being smart. And the only way they remained smart was by not being eaten. And in order to not be eaten, they have to have a place where they can hide, number one. So that would be turbid water or near a rock structure area. And second of all, when the water turns over from surf, particularly as the surf gets a little bit larger, it turns over whatever's living in the bottom. So that could be crabs and clams and so forth. And that's why they like to feed in that turbid water. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one thing that I see quite a bit of, and I try to tell folks to keep an eye open for. When you do see the dredge machine down there, because they do dredge a lot of the estuaries on a regular basis, and that pumps out all that cloudy, dirty water, your natural thought is when you see that, I'm going to move on. I'm going to find some place where the water's...
I'm going to find some clean water.
Exactly. I'm going to find some clean water.
But not the case.
But not the case at all. What's happening is that's churning up all of that bait from those inside estuaries, clams and worms and crabs, spitting it out on the end of that pipe and fishing for usually about a week around the end of that pipe, or where clear water meets murky or turbid water, is fantastic fishing.
Really?
And you'll notice it first because the birds will get there first for the first day or two. And, man, they will be living the life. And, of course, the fish offshore eating there, too.
Yeah,
what
good advice.
Great info. That's
good
awesome.
Good info, for sure. And as you can hear, we have a great show lined up for you today and a pretty awesome prize. Thanks to our good friend Bill, too.
Yeah, you're not kidding about that. Well, yeah, as you can hear, I mean, a great information source. So excited to have Bill in here and really the expert to cover a subject that we don't get to cover nearly as in-depth as we'd like to. And it's going to be a lot of fun today. We would love to have you join us. The phones reflect how excited everybody are excited to talk to Bill because the phones are already packed up. It's going to be a very busy morning. But if you want to get through, we would love to hear from you this morning. There's two ways that you can reach us on Let's Talk Hookup. And first is with our local line, which is 858 area code 457-1090. Again, 858-457-1090. Open right now. Or you can reach us toll-free, and our toll-free number is 877-792-1090. One more time, 877-792-1090. And as Pete mentioned, boy, what an awesome prize we have for one lucky caller at the end of the show today. And we'll let Bill kind of tell you more about it, but essentially one lucky caller is going to win a Bill Varnay custom fishing rod by Cousins Tackle. And this was a surf fishing rod that you and Wade from Cousins Tackle designed kind of from the ground up.
Absolutely. We talked a little bit about what we wanted to do, and to be honest with you, there were several manufacturers who came to me originally and asked me to help them design a surf fishing rod because surf fishing industry was really growing. And, you know, as you know, Rick, there wasn't a lot on the market. Pretty much we'd tell everybody, you know, go out and find a steelhead rod, and as long as it's maybe a 4 to 12 pound line rating and 5/8 ounce or 1 ounce lure rating, that was the thing to use. And as the years went on, I was just going crazy, to be honest with you, to find just the right surf rod. So I was put in touch with the folks at Cousins, Wade in particular, and he and I sat down. We talked a little bit about what I would like. He said he'd have it ready for me in about a week, which is unbelievable in this industry. And he put together several rods for me, three rods, and I went and picked them up. Now, I had gone fishing with my fishing buddies numerous times with other rods, prototypes that had been designed by other companies, and we would go out and split up and fish and come back 3 hours later and talk about it. And every time they said, Bill, whatever you do, don't put your name on this rod. I mean, they did not mince their words, you know. So Wade put these rods together for us. We went up and did some fishing up above Malibu. Had some excellent fishing on really world record calico perch up there. We found a spot where there were these 3-pound, 4-pound calico perch.
Jeez.
Unbelievable. And when we met back at the car, my fishing buddy said, look, Bill, these are the best rods we've ever fished with.
Wow.
So we went back. We met with Wade a little bit more. We made a couple changes. We shortened the butt down a little bit and made the rod actually a tiny bit lighter, and then went from there. So he's done a fantastic job. Cousins really has the most sophisticated facility for building rods, I would say, in the country. Certainly that I have ever seen. I've been in numerous ones. They have a really good system. They build them from hand from the very beginning up. And if you've never seen a rod built before, you'd be surprised, because I was. I thought rods were extruded from a machine. And
handmade.
Somebody cut them off. But they're handmade, and they start actually with a piece of fabric cut into the shape of like a pendant, like a baseball pendant, and then rolled up on a metal mandrel, which is basically a little bit smaller than the rod itself, and then basically heated up. It shrinks, and it creates the beginning of the rod, which is the blank. So
wow.
Fantastic process.
Wow. So these rods are available. They're out there, and they're
Bill Varnay's signature surf fishing rods.
That's exactly right, and they're at great shops. I mean, they're at Fisherman's Tackle down in the Landing there. They've got them up in Santa Barbara at Hook, Line, and Sinker. There's Eric's Tackle, Save-On Tackle in Santa Fe Springs, Eric's, which is in Ventura. Can't remember everybody's place. They're at the Longfin. They're all over the place at some of the more premier stores. And then you can also find them online right on my site, which is fishthesurf.com, or you can find them at surffishtackle.com, those two places.
All right,
take
very
a look
good.
At them.
I just think it's so cool that a rod was designed with the surf in mind. Like,
yeah.
We want, you know, we need the tip to
there
be soft so you don't cast the bait off. We want it to be this long. I love that. I think that's so cool. So as you can hear, we've just got an awesome show today, and what an unbelievable prize for one lucky caller at the end of the show today, as well as such a great information source with Bill here this morning. Again, if you want to get through, 858-457-1090 or 877-792-1090. The phones are packed up, and when we come back, we're going to be taking those phone calls. Lots of great information coming your way. You stay tuned. It's Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Everyone likes special treatment, you know, kind of feel like a VIP. Well, that's how our listeners are treated at Poway Valley Collision. I have personally heard of several stories of how well our friends Jim and Mary take care of their customers that we sent them. Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. We know you may not need them today, but when accidents happen, it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. And listen to this. Our listeners get a special discount that can save you hundreds of dollars on your car or truck repair. Just tell them you listen to the show and you get the deal. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, Wawanisa, and more. Just bring your car or truck to them and let Poway Valley Collision do the rest. I have had my truck repaired at Poway Valley Collision, and the job was perfect. So get your vehicle fixed right at Poway Valley Collision. Tell them you listen to Let's Talk Hookup, and they'll save you money on your repair. Poway Valley Collision, 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check powayvalleycollision.com.
Are you feeling that itch to get out on the water? Come fishing on the American Angler and reacquaint yourself with some familiar faces and make new friends. Captain owners Brian Kiyohara and Sam Patella take pride in every aspect of the American Angler operation, from their loyal and trusted crew to the sashimi-grade fresh fish you'll take home. It's easy to find a vacation that fits your schedule. We have everything from day and a half to 10-day trips and longer. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. We want you to become a part of the American Angler family.
Great boats, free parking, and a fully stocked tackle shop. Just a few of the reasons Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top charter boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Eclipse, Apollo, Outer Limits, Pacific Star, Elgato Dos, Alexis, Pride, Privateer, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea-Watch in San Diego offer the finest half, three-quarter, and full-day trips available. Check out the full-service tackle store at Seaforth Sport Fishing. And it's all run by fishermen for fishermen. 1717 Quivira Road, just off Mission Bay Drive in Mission Bay. Book online at seaforthlanding.com.
If you've heard the advice Scott Sherman from Fifth Avenue Insurance has given anglers over the past couple of years, you know there is much more to your boat insurance than just a low rate. Well, Fifth Avenue Insurance can not only find you the lowest rates on your boat insurance, they also make sure the coverage you get meets all your needs. What if you had an accident with the boat and found out you didn't have proper coverage? Well, that just won't happen when you insure with Fifth Avenue Insurance. Call them for advice on your current boat policy or any of your insurance needs. Fifth Avenue Insurance, 619-640-3130, or check the number 5, THAVEINS.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
Phones are packed. Let's jump into it, Rick.
You got it, man. How about we start it off this morning with Roy, who's caught us from San Diego. Roy, good morning. Thanks for getting us started here on Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Great, Roy.
Great. Bill, I always hear Gundy in his surf reports talking about hard baits and crocodiles fishing them in the surf. Can you kind of go over how that's done, please?
Sure, absolutely. There are a number of different hard baits or lures that you can use in the surf. Of course, in the surf, you have basically two options. One would be using natural baits. The other would be using lures, and I will use one or the other depending on what I'm fishing for. But when you're looking at hard baits or crank baits, whatever you'd like to call them, suspension baits, Lucky Craft, of course, makes excellent baits. Rapala or Rapala, depending on which side of the room you're sitting on in here.
My side's the Rapala side. Yeah. Just so we're clear about
it. Okay, I'm moving over to the Rapala side. That's more like it, because I call the Rapala forever.
Hey, they always say, yeah, that's right. We don't care either way you pronounce it as long as you buy them.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But both of those are good Sabeel. I've seen a lot of big halibut caught on those also. So there's a number of those baits. You want to make sure that they are suspension baits, which basically is a bait that once it's retrieved, it actually dives down to anywhere between about 2 and 6 meters. Now, one of the things when you're using those baits that I probably see is the biggest error in using them, and maybe the reason some folks don't catch as many fish, is how you actually start when you use those. When you cast those baits out, if you retrieve that bait, so you pull in all your loose line and then you begin to retrieve it, by the time that bait gets down suspended to the depth that you want where the fish are, you're halfway into shore already or even closer. So the trick with those is you want to cast those out as far as you can, whether you're using spinning or a conventional reel. Reel down on the slack, make sure all your slack's out, and then pull your rod hard to the side, just like you were pulling a bobber through the water or snagging even. And what that does is that initial jerk will dive that bait down to anywhere between 2 and maybe 4 meters, get you in the zone right away, so as you're retrieving, you're in the zone the entire distance.
Are you just straight winding, or are you jerking it all the way back?
You know, I try a variety of things. I'll try a slow retrieve, a fast retrieve, and then a jerk and reel, jerk and reel, jerk and reel type of retrieve. I want to see what the fish are looking for that day. Someday in the winter, like this time of year, they're going to look for a very, very slow retrieve because they themselves, their metabolism, they're not working real quick. And in the summer, they might want a much quicker retrieve where they're generally chasing bait.
Yeah.
So that's how that works.
Good question there, Roy. Thanks a lot for the call this morning. Before we move on to the next one, I have a question. Okay, spinning reel. Everybody knows what happens when you use monofilament on a spinning reel. You get a lot of line twist versus using Power Pro. You don't get that line twist. What do you use in the surf?
Well, you really got me on the spot there, didn't you? I prefer using monofilament in the surf.
Do you? Okay.
And this is the reason. There's several reasons. One of the reasons is, you know, braid is fantastic. We love braid. You can feel everything. I joke many times that you can feel fish swimming by your line.
Yeah, for sure.
Let alone on your line. So that's one of the great things about braid. The disadvantage to it is it has no stretch or very little stretch. And when you're fishing in the surf, you need stretch in your line. You need a limber tip on your rod. You need a drag that works to some extent, and you need your line to be able to stretch. Because when you're bringing big fish in through the surf, you have a lot of surge that not only pushes the fish in, but pulls the water back out also. And when you have a line that doesn't stretch particularly, many times it'll pull the hook right out of the fish's mouth.
Okay.
So, and then conversely.
And you're using small hooks.
Yes, you're using small hooks. Point, and this this would be primarily, let's say, bait fishing,
okay,
whether it's with a gulp bait whether it's with a natural bait. Now, when you go to a Lucky Craft or a Rapala or a Rapala or a Sabeel or any one of those type of baits, it's not as important because, of course, you know, look at a Lucky Craft. It's got basically 9 hooks on it.
Yeah.
You're not going to be pulling a hook on anything. You're hoping to get the hook out when you get it to shore, actually.
Yeah.
So it's not as important there. But many of the fellas that fish exclusively halibut will not use braid because as that bait is coming into shore, if the nose or the tip of that crankbait is rubbing across the sand, it will actually fray the line about 6 inches up from the eye of the lure, and many times they'll make a hard cast and off $22 will go.
Yeah, because of the abrasion.
Because of the abrasion,
yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so how do you, I know from fishing the surf, you get a lot of line twist. How do you avoid the line twist?
Well, you get a lot of line twist when you're dealing with wind, of course.
Yeah.
You get wind knots and so forth. And the other thing is that when you have a line that is a stretchy line, Berkeley makes a good one. Andy makes a good stretch line. There's a number of different companies where you have a monofilament that's not too stiff. You're going to have less chances of it doing that.
Okay.
So that's one.
So you want to look for something like that is more supple.
Is more supple, exactly.
Yeah.
And then the other thing you want to do is you want to change your line on a regular basis.
Okay.
You know, you're going to be
fishing. Oh, you're supposed to change your line.
You're supposed to change your line.
Oh.
Believe it or not.
I changed it last year.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, you go fishing twice in the summer, and then you let it sit all winter, and then you use it the next summer thinking you only went twice.
Exactly, yeah.
It just breaks down from the sun and everything else. So you want to make sure that your line is fresh, and when you're fishing 4 and 6 pound test, maybe 8 pound, you're going to need fresh line.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah. All right, let's...
And with 4 and 6 pound and 8 pound like that, you know, you're fishing a small reel, and, you know, surf fishing, obviously, you know, now you get some fish that take drag, but you don't need to necessarily be concerned with changing, you know, all 300 yards if your reel holds a lot. You know, it's the casting distance a little bit. You know, you can just change the top half of that line if that were the concern, right?
That's absolutely true. And you know, Rick, in a lot of cases, what I'll do is I will, when my line begins to discolor and I know that, you know, it's beginning to break down, I'll actually reel it on to the second spool that a lot of times we get with the reel, and it will take the old line and put it on the bottom. That's never going to see the light of day, and take the fresh line.
That's a great idea.
Underneath, yeah. And put it on top. So you can save money, but more importantly, you can do a little recycling that way, too.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's jump into those jam-packed phone lines.
You got it. How about this time we talk to Keith, calling us from Mission Viejo this morning. Keith, thanks for joining us here on Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, Pete, Rick, Bill.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Bill, have you ever designed a homemade lure, or have you ever used somebody else's homemade design and had success with it?
You know, I have not. There's a number of things that we have kicked around and worked on, the designing sinkers and so forth like that, but not somebody's lure. And I think the reason for that for myself, although I have had several that have been sent to me that would definitely work, is that there are so many fantastic lures on the market for surf fishing, and most of us don't know it. If you go into your garage and you dig through your trout fishing box, there are a number of great lures, whether they're a Super Duper, any type of MEP spinner, all of those were great in the surf. So there are so many different lures out there to try. That I haven't even scratched the surface of the ones that are made commercially. And I'll give you just a quick example of one. There was a lure made by Hooked on Tackle up in Big Bear that were trout lures that had a little skirt and had a little red tail to it. And I was out fishing in Newport Beach, and there's a fella out on a stand-up paddleboard fishing, and he caught one corbina after another, and he kept putting them up on the board, taking the hook out, dropping the fish back down, catching another one. I think he caught maybe half a dozen in 20 minutes or so. And when he paddled in, I asked him what he was using. He cut off this little trout lure and gave it to me, and I started using those, and those worked fantastically. And that's where we kind of started moving into the MEPs and the...
Yeah, that-
Castmaster and all those other ones.
I could see that MEP spinner being the perfect little flash. I mean, that's totally a little teeny bait fish darting around on the surf there. That'd be perfect.
Exactly. You know, surf fish eat the fry from perch, of course, and whether they're corbina or spotfin or yellowfin, croaker, or big perch, they're going to eat those. So that's what they're looking for, a little something spinning and bright and shiny.
There you go. Cool. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right. How about next up we talk to Kenny. Kenny's calling us from Hawaiian Garden this morning. Hi, Kenny. Welcome to the show.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Yeah.
I have a little comment about that last caller. Isn't Corey's swim bait homemade? Did he make them out of his garage or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Corey makes every single one of the MC swim baits. What about soft plastics in the surf?
Soft plastics were great in the surf. I would normally stick with a size of about 3 to 5 inches in length. But here's one thing to remember about lures in general, but soft baits or swim baits, whatever you want to call them, in the surf, is that you always want to remember to try to match your bait with the bait that occurs naturally in that area. So if you have smelt or anchovy or sardine or grunion, you want to look at their colors and match with that pattern. If you go up to an area, let's say you go up to Santa Monica and use an all-white swim bait, you're probably not going to have any luck because that's not what's occurring up in that area. On the other hand, you go up to Santa Barbara, where there's a lot of, recently, there's been, especially around County Line, a considerable amount of squid in the water, a white lure in that area is going to work. So match your lures, match your swim baits with the colors that occur naturally in the areas you're fishing.
Oh.
Hey, I had another little comment, question.
Go ahead.
I do a lot of fishing over here at Balsa Chica Inlet. Mm-hmm. I've been walking around in that behind there in the wetlands there and stuff, and... I've seen a lot of big sea bass back in there. If I'm fishing out, like, on the beach, off the inlet, how would you target those things if they're coming in and out of the inlet there?
First of all, remember, you cannot fish on the inside of the walking path You're not even supposed to be inside on the walking path and on the inside side of Pacific Coast Highway there, as that is a MLPA area, and the fine would be large if they caught you there. But I know exactly what you're saying, because there's a lot of sea bass in there. And as a matter of fact, I've lived in Huntington Beach for over 20 years, and we would ride our bikes down there, and where the two lakes join there and the water goes in between, and a lot of bait will accumulate there. You can see 5 to 20-pound white sea bass there feeding on a regular basis.
No kidding.
Exactly. Wow. Yeah, exactly.
There's quite a few. And you know, just the other day, about 3 weeks ago, I was fishing on the South Jetty, and probably a 40-pound white sea bass who was swimming along the rocks could have almost reached out and hit him with the tip of my rod, and I threw a Lucky Craft in front of him about 10 times, and he wouldn't even look at it. So many times when those fish, the big fish, because I've seen some really big tiger sharks and all kinds of stuff going in and out of there, thrashers, when they're transitioning in and out of there, or, you know, in their transit mode, they're really not feeding as often as they would on the outside or once they get onto the inside there.
They're spawning, or what are they doing?
They could be spawning. Yeah. That's probably most likely what they're doing, is going into a warmer water environment and spawning, or going in there to find food and foraging inside there.
Man, that's got to drive you nuts, man. Looking at a 40-pound sea bass and
from
it's
the
like
beach.
Swimming right in front of you. It's like
crazy.
Wow. Did you try and snag it?
I tried everything.
Yeah.
I almost threw my rod at it.
And what pound test were you fishing?
6 pound.
Oh, that would have been fun.
So
huh?
You had him on the heavy gear.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, surf fishing, man. That's the world.
Just going to horse him into shore.
Yeah, really. All right. Good questions, Kenny. Thanks a lot for the call.
How about next up, we talk to Don, who's calling us from Woodland Hills this morning. Don, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Bill, I'd like to learn how to do surf fishing and specifically target halibut here up on the northern L.A. County beaches. What would be a good basic outfit to start with?
Well, you could really have two choices. You could go with a spinning outfit. I would probably go for a medium weight type of spinning outfit where you'd be able to fish anywhere from 6 to 10 pound test. So I would have probably a 7 to 9 foot rod rated line with a line rating of anywhere between maybe 4 and 16 pound test that you could throw about a 1 ounce or maybe a 1 1/4 ounce lure on it. That would be the way I would start out with a spinning gear, and probably a 2,500 or a 3,000 size series reel. That's a reel where you can hold about 250 yards of 8-pound test. So I'd probably start out with that, and then you can also fish it with a casting rod and use a Corrado reel or a Lexa or a number of different small bait casting reels. And generally, I'm always going to fish monofilament on those, and if I'm using a bait casting reel, I'll fish between 10 and 20-pound monofilament. And when I'm surf fishing for halibut, I'm generally not just going out on the open beach and arbitrarily casting out to sea and finding fish. I'm always looking for an area where rocks meet sand. That's where you'll normally find halibut staging or foraging, is in those areas.
Where
rocks meet sand. So the edge of a jetty, the edge of a harbor entrance, anywhere where there's an edge there. And if you dive in those areas and you look for the halibut, you'll notice that they're both buried in the sand on the edge where the rocks are. And many times they'll lay on the rocks themselves and become the color of the rocks and feed right off of there. So those are the areas I would go to.
Now, Gundy always talks about using those Rapala-style lures for halibut. That's like the hot stuff. Would you agree?
I would agree. Currently, that's the hot stuff. The reason I say that with a little trepidation is that Rapalas and other lures like that have become very popular in the last 5 or 8 years or so, and so many people have tied those on and used those. Prior to that, if you go all the way back to the 1930s, crocodiles caught absolutely everything.
Okay.
So if you had as many people tying on crocodiles as you had Rapalas, you'd probably have an equal number of fish. So those all work very, very well, but a lot of it has to do with the presentation.
All right, very good. Well, thanks a lot for the call. Now, you're talking about natural baits, and do ghost shrimp live in estuaries, but they don't live in the surf, do they?
No, they do not live in the surf.
But they work in the surf.
They work great in the surf.
And, so why is that?
And as Rick knows, they work great for rock cod fishing.
Yeah, they work everything.
Eats.
Exactly. It's like a squid, right?
Exactly what I was
exactly.
going to say.
People ask me, you know, what eats a ghost shrimp? And I said, whatever fish gets to it first. Because really, they are the candy bait of,
like a
of the surf.
Yeah.
It's like a lobster.
Yeah.
We all love that. But the availability of ghost shrimp, as all of our local tackle shops have found, has disappeared almost completely. There's been a big environmental movement up in the Seattle area where most of this bait is farmed. There are big estuaries up there where individuals go out and basically suck up the ghost shrimp in large numbers and then send them down here to the tackle shops. Environmentalists up there have tried to make folks believe that whales and sea lions and seals feed on ghost shrimp.
Oh, get out of here. No way.
And that's some bizarre way that people who are farming a very small number of the billions and billions that there are have depleted the resource. So the local townships there have not renewed the permits in order for commercial fishermen to take them.
Really?
No way.
So we're on our own now.
So you have to pump your own.
You have to pump your own.
Which isn't sometimes easy, sometimes not.
That's right. There's some days are good and some days are bad because they go through cycles for sure.
Right.
But there are many, many places in California to find ghost shrimp. And with a little practice and a little patience, there'll be plenty for everybody.
It's just amazing to me the stories that the extreme environmental groups make up. It's just like, where do you get this stuff, right?
Exactly.
Gosh, it's unbelievable.
I think that it's hurting the whales.
Yeah.
Too many ghost shrimp out there. No more whales.
Yeah, the whales are like forging in the mud.
Digging
right?
through the surf trying to get their ghost shrimp out. Well, let's head out. Let's find out what's biting out there right now. It's time to head on down to the Baja and a favorite place this time of year. And the man that always keeps us in touch with what's going on in the Baja is the Cast Man. And today, that catch report sponsored in part by Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Get the finest fish processing while you wait from your local, your long range, or your private boat trip. Nobody does it better than Fisherman's Processing. And if you want to be on the road just minutes after your trip lands, pre-book your processing order before you depart. Don't settle for anything less with your fish. Let Fisherman's Processing take care of your catch on your private or your sport boat trip. Check fishermansprocessing.com for more details. And let's talk to the man, Richard Castaneda from Cast Tours. Buenos dias, Cast Man.
Hey, buenos dias, Ricky. Hey, Pete, those shrimp, they really work good on the spotted owl, let me tell you.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I bet they're, they love them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, you know, that it really is a good candy bait for salmon. A lot of guys will fish in the river here in Oregon. They'll use bobbers, and, they use salmon roe or eggs. But a lot of the guys are using those ghost shrimp, and actually they're faring better than the guys that are soaking the salmon eggs.
Wow,
so really, really
never would
have
thought that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah,
why not? Yeah, really good. Anyway, let's get in with a report. Things really cooled off down there. The water temperature really down in Cabo San Lucas and up around the Sea of Cortez. Fishing did slow, but it didn't come to a standstill. Probably the biggest fish right now people are targeting the Sierra mackerel, anywhere from 5 to 10 pounds, and those are found all along the beaches. Still some striped marlin around. Probably for every 10 boats go out, maybe 4 or 5 are being caught. Still some dorado, not a lot of dorado, but the ones they are catching are some nice quality fish, 20 to 30 pounds. Over in Mazatlan there, they're getting a little mixture of sails and striped marlin, a few scattered tuna, and a few scattered dorado. Ixtapas y Huatanejo there, of course, that's one of the main great destinations we send people during the winter. Daytime temperatures there run around mid-80s, and sailfish bite probably 8 to 10 miles off the beach there. A few blue marlin mixed in. The bigger dorado there, 30-35-pound dorado also, and, of course, along the beaches there, roosters, sierras, jacks. So some, pretty good fishing going on down there. But that's the report for this week. Like I say, with that water really dropping down in temperature, it really slowed things down in Cabo. But look for that to pick up here in the next few days when we get some more currents coming in, a little warmer water. But anyway, that's a report for this week, and I'll talk to you guys next Saturday. And anyway, we want to book a trip into southern Baja, mainland Mexico, Central America, and our favorite destination, Christmas Island. Give us a call. Cast Tours at 800-593-6510, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
Awesome report, Cass. Appreciate that. Great times, great fishing, and, yeah, we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Ricky.
Thanks, right, Cast Man. Appreciate that.
All right, hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Cook Up coming your way. Phones are absolutely packed up. Everybody's excited to talk to Bill, and we're going to do just that. Lots more Let's Talk Cook Up coming your way on the Mighty 1090.
Sport fishing, not just for dad anymore. At Dana Wharf Sport Fishing, kids fish free every Sunday. Free half-day fishing trip and clinic free for kids 12 and under every Sunday at Dana Wharf. Join the Dana Wharf Kids Club and get over $100 of really cool stuff like 2 free fishing trips, a free whale watch trip, and more. Dana Wharf, everyone's favorite since 1971. Click DanaWharf.com or visit them in the Dana Point Harbor, the bass capital of the West, in only minutes from the 5 Freeway in Orange County. DanaWharf.com, where kids fish free.
When customers return, you must be doing it right. At least, that is what we believe on Royal Star. This is Captain Tim Ekstrom. My partners, Randy Toussaint, Brian Sims, and I will not only take you to the finest fishing destinations, but we deliver the highest quality RSW product, pioneering the finest fresh fish storage system in the San Diego long-range fleet. Royal Star has a limited number of openings on our year-round schedule, with most anglers returning year after year. If you want to fish with the best, make your reservation now on Royal Star. Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764. We look forward to fishing with you.
Fisherman's Landing has been the choice of sport fishing anglers for decades, with the largest fleet of long-range boats worldwide, complemented by Southern California's finest charter and open party fleet. Now is the time to book your long-range trips and charters, plus half-day trips aboard the Dolphin. Go to fishermanslanding.com and see trip availability, and even book your trip online. Stop by or call Fisherman's Landing in San Diego and book now at fishermanslanding.com.
This fishing season, you can get your hands on the edge the top pros like Steve Lasley and Jim Kingsmill use to catch more fish. A pair of the new Fraser Optics Bi-Light Gyro-Stabilized Binoculars. This next-generation lightweight 14x40 gyro-stabilized binoculars are ideally suited for any offshore fishing adventure. And when you get them from GyroPros.com, it comes along with the personal assistance from professional captains like Steve and Jim. GyroPros.com is your direct link to Fraser Optics, not a mass retailer with thousands of products. GyroPros.com specializes in making sure you get the right binocular to help you catch more fish. And now, if you use the code HOOKUP at checkout, you save $100 on a pair of the new Fraser Optics Super Lightweight Bi-Light Binoculars. Check it out! GyroPros.com. Use the code HOOKUP at checkout and get $100 off a fishing tool that could be more important than your meter this summer. That's GyroPros.com. Enter the code HOOKUP and save $100 on the amazing Fraser Optics Bi-Light Binoculars. You've made the investment in a boat, and you know how important it is to take good care of it. That's why you need Monsoon Yacht Service. Mark and his staff specialize in taking care of your boat and making it look its best. No matter if it's on a trailer or in a slip, let Monsoon Yacht Service clean and polish your boat to make it look like new. Monsoon Yacht Service also does fiberglass and gel coat repair, custom rigging, and the best detailing you have ever seen. Be proud of your boat again with the help of Monsoon Yacht Service. 619-405-2176 or check monsoonyachtservice.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
Hey, I want to make mention of our archives, hookup1090.com, the archives page, and Adam, our main man on the board here at the Mighty 1090, is in charge of our archives, does a great job getting those archives up. There's been some issues with being able to download those archives, and we're working on those issues, getting a lot of emails from our listeners that like to, like, download them to their phones or their iPods or whatever, and we're having issues with that. We're working on a resolution. We don't know what the problem is. We can't figure it out. It's one of those techno things, techno but bugs. I have our techno wizard, Chad, working on it, and we're working on a solution. We're hoping for a very quick solution here for those of you that like to take it to the gym or take it on a walk with you or whatever. But, of course, you can always listen streaming it on the archives. Hookup1090.com. Just go to the archives, click on your favorite show, and it will be available. And thanks to Adam, they're usually available right after the program ends here today. And appreciate his good help. And we'll keep you posted on a resolution for that issue with the archives there, too. Another thing I want to mention, too, is we're looking for recipes for our Angler's Table section of our website on hookup1090.com. And if you're a chef, you have a great fish recipe, you have a restaurant, and you want us to plug it for free by using your recipe, we're open to it.
That's
Send me an email, Pete at hookup1090.com. Pete at hookup1090.com. Let me know you have a recipe. I'd love to have a photo of the recipe, and then the recipe itself will, like I say, if you are a chef or a up-and-coming chef or you have a restaurant that you want to get a free plug on Let's Talk Hookup with, a great fish recipe, send it to me. Pete at hookup1090.com. We'll put it up on our website and share your great fish recipe with our listeners out there. So let's go ahead and jump back into the phones.
You got it. Well, as we said, the phones are jam-packed. We're going to start off this round with Mike, who's calling us from Rosemead this morning. Mike, good morning. Thanks for hanging in there with us on Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, Mike.
My question is, I fish generally around the Bolsa Chica area, Sunset Beach, and just as a change of pace, I want to try something like where the rocks really meet the surf, natural rocks, not jetties or anything like that. But I know those bourgeois in like the Laguna Beach area, I think they own their own beach, and I think we're still not allowed to fish that general area. But are there any spots in that South Coast area that I can fish?
You're absolutely right. In bourgeois, that's a good term to cover those dudes. Is that that's a lot of four-letter word, is it? Wow. Yes, there are a few areas down there. You're right. You know, much of that area is, it's kind of funny down there if you talk to Department of Fish and Wildlife, much of that area in the South Coast area from Newport Harbor, Corona del Mar, all the way down to Doheny Beach, basically, all of Dana Point and so forth, is closed or restricted by the MLPA. The exception to that area is the Crystal Cove area. Now, Crystal Cove, you can fish almost all of the Crystal Cove State Park area. The only basic MLPA rule there, which they've had for many, many years, it's an excellent rule, is that you cannot take any mussel or clam or sand crabs or rocks or shells or anything from their shore. So if you're going to fish there, you want to import your bait, whatever type of bait you're going to use, you want to bring it with you. And believe it or not, all the folks that work there, whether they're the rangers or the lifeguards, they're all fishermen, they're all divers, they love fishing. So that's a great place. When you get down into Laguna proper, most of that is closed off. The Department of Fish and Wildlife has had a tremendous problem over the past couple of years since this was implemented with let's just call them environmental bourgeois, who are down there enforcing the rules without having the right or the responsibility or the authority to do such. So they've been hassling people.
Really?
And another interesting event that happened down there that has really been rubbing the Department of Fish and Wildlife, who is on our side. I know that they're out there enforcing laws, but they're really great. All the wardens are good. They're doing the very best they can with the rules they have. The city of Laguna Beach was raking the beach with a bulldozer or a front-end loader and cleaning all the kelp off the beach and so forth. And the Department of Fish and Wildlife went down there and said, wait a minute. You can't tell people not to fish here or take shells or anything, and you come down here and rake all of this natural stuff off the beach. So the city really has been fighting against the Department of Fish and Wildlife, who's down there on a regular basis, wasting their time taking notes and pictures of this, that's what been going on. So let's
hope
this gets
resolved. Good for Department of Fish and Wildlife, because, yeah, I mean, you know what? If you're not harming the beach, you shouldn't take the natural forage, right?
That's exactly right.
To clean it up for the bourgeois to lay on the beach.
That's right. Don't want to get their feet sand.
Yeah, indeed. Good point there. But that's, Crystal Cove is the spot.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Crystal Cove State Park is the spot.
Yeah, it's just so wrong.
It's just
so
crazy,
man.
On so many levels.
We're not, why not make a catch and release? What harm are you doing?
It makes no sense. I mean, when you look at the number of people that fish in many of these areas that are closed, like in Palos Verdes, the Point Vincenni area, all the way down to Abalone Cove, you could go a couple weeks without seeing anybody down on the rocks fishing there back in the day, and you could certainly go a week without seeing a boat anywhere around.
Yeah.
So I don't understand it personally myself.
Especially to take away something. And that's what's so cool about surfing to its core is the easy and inexpensive access. You know, anybody can go any day, and to take that away from a guy, it just stinks.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Appreciate that.
Well, from Matt, Mike, and Rosemead, we're going to go to another Mike. Mike is calling us from San Diego this morning. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Great. What's up, Mike?
I wanted to ask Bill, with the El Nino and some of the unusual catches that we had offshore, is there anything, many unusual species or larger species caught from the beach this year?
This was a very unusual year. We had many, not only unusual species caught, but some of the largest unusual fish caught. Of course, down here in San Diego, we had a tremendous amount of corvina, both short fin and orange mouth corvina, which if we went back just a few years ago, we never even saw in this area before. So that was an unusual catch. And, you know, I was thinking about this last night, thinking that somebody might ask this question. There were some very unusual catches. I think the most unusual catch was a catch in the surf by hand by a woman in Malibu, right around Moon Shadows there, if anybody knows where that is on Pacific Coast Highway, who was getting ready to go to church on Sunday. She lives in one of the apartments that overlooked the water there. She heard a splashing outside, went out and looked on her balcony, saw a bunch of fish jumping and boiling and birds diving, but continued to hear this noise, looked straight down, could not believe what she saw, ran outside, ran about a half a block down the beach to get the beach access there, ran in front of her unit, and pulled in through the surf a 32-pound yellowfin tuna.
What? No.
Now, she told me, or she told the newspaper, which I read a story about her, that the fish was just going after these bait fish and got caught in a big swell that had come up and was just thrown ashore and was trying to make its way back to the water.
Bizarre.
And the picture, and I think it's the Malibu Times, I think if you Google it, you can see it, is a woman, probably middle-aged gal, good-looking gal, standing there in her Sunday best, holding a 30-pound tuna. It's the funniest picture I've ever seen.
Classic.
That's
did she have
crazy.
Did she have a fishing license?
That was my question. Yeah. I don't know if she had a license or not. She better have had a license.
Yeah, especially with all that press, right?
That's
funny. And you look at your website, fishthesurf.com, and there's an amazing picture of an orange-mouthed corvina caught in the surf. Now, we catch them in San Diego Bay,
mm-hmm.
and you catch them in Newport Bay, you catch them in some of the bays. And estuaries, but not in the surf normally, huh?
No, not normally in the surf. You don't usually catch those in the open surf. So that is really something unusual. But the thing is, we're seeing more and more of them now. I think in the last 2 years, I've seen at least a dozen now caught in the surf.
The ultimate surf fish in the summertime, of course, is the corvina.
Mm-hmm.
And I've caught them in the surf. They're amazing to catch in the surf. And how was the surf fishing for corvina this summer?
It was very good this summer. It wasn't as good as we've had in past El Nino's years, which have been years where when your bait hits the bottom, you have one. But there was excellent corvina fishing. There were days where myself and other fellows were getting half a dozen in a day and some very big fish this summer. I thought we would see the record this year. We didn't quite see it, so maybe that
how big is
bodes
big?
Well. About 6 pounds,
yeah.
And the record's around 8 or so.
Wow.
So
6-pound corvina is a big corvina.
It is. You're looking at probably about a 28-inch corvina getting up around its 30 inches, which
you're
is right
you catching that on 4 6-pound test?
You're catching those on 4 and 6-pound test.
Oh, man, that's
dude,
a pull.
And a couple of the top guys up in the Huntington Beach area, they fish exclusively 4-pound.
Wow.
So it's
pretty awesome.
It's an exciting fight.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. We got Catch Reports coming up, more of this great info with Bill, lots of great stuff. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short 2-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
Your hook is one of the most important parts of your fishing tackle, and that is why you should use the hook that sets the standard for quality and innovation. Gamakatsu. As Japan's leading hook manufacturer and growing at an amazing pace, Gamakatsu is responsible for introducing a unique tempering process to give Gamakatsu hooks superior strength and durability. Plus, the conically needle-honed points stay sharp. Gamakatsu offers a hook for every fishing situation, including the finest one-piece ringed hooks, light wire, standard and heavy-duty live bait hooks, and the popular Nautilus circle hooks. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store and stay connected to that fish of a lifetime.
Alaska is one of the ultimate fishing destinations in the world. This is Rock Cod Rick, and every year the one trip I look forward to is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. My dad and I have been going for over 15 years, and I just can't wait to go again. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, the finest fishing charter captains in all of Sitka, and the ultimate value. Sure, I've been to others, but time and time again, nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. You can catch huge halibut like the ones we do almost every year, and salmon? Well, Sitka is famous for some of the best runs in Alaska. We also get plenty of rockfish and huge lingcod. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. And listen to this, it's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except the tips. It's truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Come and join me on the Let's Talk Hookup trip in June, or just go when you can. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
XSBRS 1090 AM, Rosarito, Baja California.
You're listening to the home of the Padres.
To a home run, Kemp again.
San Diego's sports leader, the mighty 1090.
If you are ready to experience a real Alaska fishing adventure, check out Whaler's Cove Lodge in Angoon, Alaska. The calm waters around Whaler's Cove are 100 miles from any large towns, so you will enjoy a wilderness adventure without any crowds. Whaler's Cove Lodge has some of the best salt and freshwater fishing in Alaska, and there is no need for a bumpy boat ride for hours. You can find productive fishing for salmon, halibut, and rockfish just 10 minutes from the lodge. Whaler's Cove also offers fantastic freshwater fishing in wilderness streams for wild salmon and trout. The Whaler's Cove experience will fulfill your wildest Alaska dreams on the calm water of the Inside Passage or on a spectacular stream. It's your choice every day at the Whaler's Cove Lodge. After fishing, you will dine on fabulous meals created daily by the Whaler's Cove chefs and relax in your comfortable room or cabin. Learn more about this exciting Alaska destination on their website at whalerscovelodge.com or call 800-423-3123. Whaler's Cove Lodge, a real Alaskan fishing adventure.
The offshore fishing this year has been nothing short of amazing. It's got a lot of San Diego anglers already dreaming about next year. Things may be cooling down a little offshore, but they're heating up at your San Diego County Ford dealers during the Dream Big Sales event. It's a great time to come in and check out incredible lease deals on Fusion, Focus, and Escape, or the big cash back available on America's favorite truck, Ford F-150, the truck of choice for San Diego fishermen. I've been driving a Ford truck for years, and I couldn't be happier with it. The technology is state-of-the-art. I can launch my boat with ease, and it's got all the room I need. And guess what else just started rolling in? The all-new 2015 Mustang. Just wait till you hear that throaty growl of that engine. It'll really get your blood pumping. December is traditionally a great time for two things: fishing in the bay and getting a great deal on a new Ford. So if you're ready to dream big and save big, don't miss the Dream Big Sales event. On now at your San Diego County Ford dealer. Stop by today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
In the past, AFCO has been known for its traditional fishing shorts. We now will also be known for our new line of next generation board shorts. Features include four-way stretch micro poly, pliers pockets, a stain-resistant finish, quick dry, UV protection, plus an AFCO exclusive, a bamboo charcoal inside laminate that is both moisture-wicking and antimicrobial. Available in a variety of prints and colors, these technically advanced board shorts continue AFCO's long tradition of providing the world's finest fishing shorts. Check them out today at Better Tackle Shops.